Welcome to the Wolf of Queen Street podcast with Lawrence Lotz. Join Lawrence as he gets together with his friends from all over the world to discuss the latest trends, give some business insights, and add a little South African chaos into your lives. Don't forget to subscribe on Instagram at the Wolf of Queen Street and find us on all of your listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, Google Podcasts, and much more. Hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the Wolf of Queen Street podcast series. Welcome back if you're listening on the audio podcast or the YouTube series. Welcome. The Wolf of Queen Street is an entrepreneurship podcast series that brings people here to tell their stories of how they've overcome certain challenges, darkness, or achieving success in the niche that they are talking about or the business they're running in today. But before we get started today, today's episode is brought to you by the Dark Heart Grooming Company, a skincare for men only using organic, natural, native ingredients from New Zealand. And you can find them on the Dark Heart Grooming Co. under Instagram. And the next time you place an order, just add the Wolf10 to get a 10% discount. Today, I'm joined by Lyndall Harris from the Podcast VA. And as with most of my guests that I've had on the show, again, it was a random connection that put us together. One day I was sitting there going through Castbox, which I feel is one of the best Android-based podcast apps, looking through which of the top shows currently in my area of New Zealand and Australia. Funny enough, I noticed this podcast called The Podcast Tips and Tricks with Lyndall Harris. And I thought, again, this was at that stage, I think it was top 30 or top 40 in New Zealand and Australia. And I said, I want to find out what is going successful with this podcast. What is the actual tips and tricks? And fundamentally, there must be something good behind this brand to put it in the top 30 or 40 in New Zealand and Australia on the Castbox, which is one of the largest Android-based podcast apps that you get in the market. So welcome to the show, Lyndall.
Thank you, Lawrence. Thanks for having me.
So as I said, I just randomly sent you a message one day on Instagram, I believe, as I do with most of my guests and people that I meet on the line, and reached out and said, hey, this is me. I see at the moment that you're ranking or placing on Castbox with your series about your tips and tricks about launching a podcast, how to maintain a podcast, and everything goes in around it, because most people these days would want to do this, to want to do what we're having a discussion about or be on a series, but they're not sure about the first few steps to take. And I'm guessing that's exactly what your brand is about and the brand and your business that sits behind it, namely Podcast VA.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's funny because people often, they might think about doing a podcast, and mainly my clients are small business owners who want to do it as part of a marketing activity, but they get really overwhelmed by the first thought is, you know, the equipment and the software that they're going to use. What microphone would I buy? Mm-hmm. What should I do? And then also, the technicalities of it, like how would I even get it onto Apple Podcasts and Spotify? Like, and so a lot of people kind of get stuck at those points when, like, you and I both know, like, when you break it down, it actually isn't too difficult to actually work through those.
That is correct. It's funny enough, we were supposed to have recorded this session about half an hour ago, but we got on the line, both being podcast hosts, and we started talking for about 25 minutes just about ourselves, about podcasts and going through. And the funny enough thing is that your pick is, as Lyndall said, is once you break down the launch of a podcast, there is a step-by-step, simple steps to follow. But there is still some uniqueness in some of those steps. So again, she said about the equipment. If you're watching the YouTube series, I'm using a different mic to what Lyndall's using. My headphones are different. Our equipment, our software that we're using is different. So those are the small uniqueness that changes from one person to the other. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's wrong. Again, as Lyndall said, she's got a client, and depending on what they want is what they would host it with. You've got hosting platforms like Anchor, which are really simple in its nature, or you've got hosting platforms like Libsyn, which is give you more integral data analytics and better reporting than Anchor, but is a lot more challenging technically. And I can imagine these are some of the major questions you'll get from your clients.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. And I think sort of breaking down like how a podcast works is really important, and understanding that, you know, a podcast host is very different to hosting on your website, for example, because I think a lot of people, when they don't understand the process, are even thinking about putting their audio files onto their website and hosting it that way, which is, you definitely do not want to be doing that because your website crashes fairly quickly. So absolutely, having an understanding of, I know when I talk to my client about the host in particular, it is, we're talking about, do you want an Australian host? Because we work quite a lot with a couple of Australian hosting companies. Mm-hmm. What do you want from your host? If you're looking for that easy solution to do yourself, then Anchor is often a lot more straightforward than, as you say, than Libsyn and some of those other ones. Whereas if someone's really looking for a platform that offers a lot of statistics and what have you, because they eventually want to look at getting sponsorship or monetizing their podcast, then maybe we would look at a host that offers more in-depth statistics so that they can then go and approach sponsors and approach agencies or however they want to monetize it. But knowing those numbers are really important. And also knowing where your client base is, because I know for the clients that we work with, if your client bases in Australia, then we will say, why not use one of the Australian hosts? If your client base or your target audience is more in America, then Libsyn might meet the market better. So really having an understanding of, I guess, that very first step in your podcast launch strategy or your podcast launch is to work out your strategy, which is all about knowing your purpose, knowing if your audience listen to podcasts, knowing where they're based, and that sort of information. And that all comes together as step one. And then you can sort of look then at the technicalities of how podcasting works.
Totally correct. I think most people, if you're not aware, I think people think it's simplistic. You talked about already about hosting. To anyone that's listening and you're not sure, no one in the major world of podcasting hosts their own podcast or on their own website. It's just not achievable. It's not sustainable. The top guys in the world use multiple different companies to host their podcasts. Your website will crash. You need quite a expensive, very high threshold website to be able to handle and host your own podcast on through that. So something that someone's going to say straight away is going to go, Lawrence, well, then how is it actually on the website? How is it on iTunes? Doesn't iTunes host it? Doesn't Spotify host it? Doesn't, was it iHeartRadio host it? And I think the simple question is people just need to give the education that, no, they don't. They are just the end man in that story. There's a hosting platform behind and it distributes that content to the listeners or the apps that people can listen through.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly right. It's when you set up the hosting platform, that is the one place that you upload the audio and you put your show notes and you put all of the different information in the tags and what have you in there. And that integrates with all of the various directories. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Libsyn, sorry.
Google Podcasts.
Yes, that one. So do you want me to start that again? Let me just start.
You can go where you like.
Okay, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all of them that they integrate with, it'll push it out there via an RSS feed. So, and then most people, when they do have it on their website, have put an embedded audio player back on their website, or they have a plugin that works with their hosting platform.
Yeah. And again, people, this is not too scary. If you've got the right guidance and team, someone like Lyndall showing you how to get it done, to put into place. So everything that gets built and set up is sort of one setup. It's done once. So it's one headache and one headache tablet. And then you're sweet for the rest of the time. So pretty much every episode you load, distribute, and it follows that same suit anyway. One thing that I was looking as well, I was going through, having a quick listen and looking at your episodes, Lino, that you had on your series, is providing something which is quite nice and quite that I enjoy, is very short and sharp insights into certain tips and tricks at a certain period for a podcast, in a certain period of time period. So for the example, we are, a week away or a few days away from Christmas, depends when this comes out live. And what do people do in the, the December, January months when most of us that's hosting or guests on podcasts actually wants to go away from a mic for week, 2 weeks, some people 4 weeks. And I saw you did an episode today and had a listener, which is, I thought it was such a simple, basic idea, but it was a great insight. And I'll let you explain a little bit more, but it was pretty much repurposing existing content to allow yourself to have some time off.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's, yeah, especially as you say, coming into the festive season, it was one that I put out today with the timing in mind, where people can rebroadcast their old episodes. So my show is only 11 episodes in, so I don't have a big back catalogue of shows. But if you have a big back catalogue of shows and you want to have a break, I mean, it's no problem to have a break. But I think what you can do really well is just rebroadcast an old episode. So you don't need to really do anything with the audio at all. You just literally go back into your hosting platform and upload a new episode and make sure that the title and say your show notes are really clear that it is rebroadcast of an old episode. So you might go back to an episode. Quite often I would say either look at, depending on what your podcast is about, so look at whether you have a time relevant one. So for example, if you have one about planning for the new year or doing your business planning, you might repurpose that one, or you might look at your statistics and go and see what were the top two or three high performing episodes that you've had, and then go and rebroadcast those ones. But yeah, just give yourself a bit of a break. If you are deciding to have a break, a lot of people can use this period to batch and get ahead of their recordings, which is great. But if you just want to have that little bit of a break, rebroadcasting is a great way to keep that consistency.
Yeah, and if you make the message correct, your existing fans will see it and understand, and it's up to them what they do it. But you're not going to have very few podcasts that are going to have the same fans from day one to the end. You do get that, but you pick up fans day to day, you pick up fans week to week as different shows going on. For example, is I might be lucky enough to pick up some of the fans from Lyndall's side, and from my fans go back to her podcast. So each week it takes it differently. So and also, if you've got a big catalog, like someone that I listen to, like Joe Rogan, he's got, I think he's at 1,200 or 1,300 episodes at the moment. Unless you're crazy enough, like what I did, and I started at number one 2 years ago and try to chase down the 1,000, you're never going to go back to those older episodes. So he could, in principle, I don't think he would, it's not his style, but in principle, he could re-release one of his episodes, or he could do a triple episode if he went, spoke about some of the guests that's been three or four times, and do a sort of a special when he goes for his breaks. It's interesting enough, it's something he's never done, because he does take time off, a week off or 2 weeks off sometimes on his busy schedule. So, but definitely I thought it was such a simple idea to do that, re-putting the content out there for a re-release of an existing episode, as well as all just a small snippet of it. There's nothing wrong with taking a teaser of it, or doing a 5 minute clip of it, cutting it up, or just as well what I thought after that episode, because it gave me ideas. If you didn't feel like doing a lot of an episode, how about it just do a 5 minute recap of 2019 and release that, right? So to guests and go, thank you. These are the people that I had on my show. This is what we discussed this year. And then releasing that content onto the show so that people could go, something's come up and I can listen and I can support, but at least I've kept, you know, my episode every couple of weeks or so, and I've given my fans something.
Yeah, absolutely. And people don't have to do it. It's an interesting sort of thing to look at. I know for me, as I mentioned, my show is quite new. So I sort of toyed with the idea of, do I take a couple of weeks over Christmas? Because I do want to sort of down tools it for my business as such. But then I was like, no, I'm so new, I don't think I want to actually have the break. So yeah, it's just about working out. And if it's a passion project that you're doing, or it's a hobby style podcast, then maybe it's okay. It's okay for anyone to have a break, but maybe it's okay to have a break more so depending on whether you think your listeners will be listening as well. Like I have some clients who are sort of like, you know, my audience are employees that are going to be taking time out and they're not going to be listening. They probably wouldn't listen to podcasts. Whereas, I don't know, if your audience is small business owners then, and they're taking time out, then they might be looking for content to consume. So it's all, you got to take it all into consideration.
Yeah, totally. It's a sort of a rule that I have within my podcast. So anyone that pays attention will notice I don't release any episode over a weekend, as I feel that sometimes I'll be competing on the weekend with quite a lot of other noise in the social world. People are out hanging with their families, doing events, just going out and partying. The last thing they're going to be doing is doing a podcast or listen to podcasts. We fundamentally, the two main places people listen to podcasts is in the car and at the gym. So on the weekend, people are not necessarily going to the gym as much, and then most of the time sitting on the couch, enjoying a drink and watching the local sport or local reality show that they've missed during the week. So it's a sort of a rule and understanding your audience of what you want to generate out as well.
Yes.
Something you also mentioned earlier is talking about your understanding about a podcast and launching it and knowing where you want to go and the hosting platform and so forth. You mentioned something about sponsorship. Now, I believe to a lot of people that I talk to that have not yet got into the game, they think, okay, going into podcasting, A, might be easy, B, might be easier to make money, and C, sponsorship will just come along. But anyone that's listening, anyone that's watching, after myself, it's been in for 10 to 11 months. Lyndall's been, you've got a business for 3 years. It does not come easy in sponsorship or money unless you have something that's gone viral or you're very, very exceptionally lucky. I think there's a misconception about sponsorship and the ease of this because people don't understand that there's a relatable sponsorship to the CPMs or the click per miles and how big that number is to how small of a sponsorship you'd actually get from some sponsors. Do you want to provide some sort of insights around this that you would likely have seen in your experience, Lino?
When it comes to sponsorships, it is a really interesting topic, and that cost per mille that you talked about, which is the cost per thousand downloads.
Correct.
You've got to launch with a fairly big audience, or you've got to have built up a fairly big audience to make that kind of sponsorship work for you to actually make anything that's reasonable. So, and if you're getting 1,000 downloads per episode, then you're in one of the, you know, you're in a very high percentage or top percentage of podcasters, because that is a great number to have. So I think there's probably better ways that you can think about monetizing your podcast rather than the sponsorship. But if you have an audience, if you have a big social following and you can pull those numbers together, then like your email list, your Instagram following, your Facebook, all of you, if you can pull good numbers together, then you can definitely put together a sponsorship package and approach someone. I think the more niche you are as well, or if there is somebody who's aligned perfectly with your audience, then you've got a better chance of getting that sponsorship. I think some of the more, some of the better ones that I've seen, or the more successful ones I've seen, are where the podcast host puts together their own package and then approaches somebody, and it's not necessarily on this cost per mille, basis. And so I've seen people put together, as I say, pull all of their social reach numbers together and then go with a package that might just cover their production. Mm-hmm. They might not be looking to make a lot of money from it. Probably the easiest way to make money from your podcast is if you have a course or you have some products or something of your own that you can funnel them into your business, into your products and services. I have seen people literally reach out. So I have one client who started with she does a seasonal podcast. She started with the first three episodes, and from episode 4 to 12, which was the end of her first season, she literally found her sponsors by an email to people who have similar target audiences and says, "I'm looking for sponsorship. Would you pay X $100? And this is what you'll get for it." And so sometimes I think we overthink how we can monetize it, and we can sort of really break it down into being reaching out and asking, knowing your numbers, and funneling it back into some of your own products and services.
That's correct. And I think also something just to put out there to anyone that's thinking about it, that's watching at the moment, that's thinking about launching a podcast. So as you talk about the CPM, it's 1,000. The core click per mile or so forth. It's 1,000 clicks or 1,000 downloads, depending on whether you're clicking ads or you're listening to podcasts. But something to also understand that is that the average sort of sponsorship that you can get if you're a normal podcast is anywhere from 20 to maximum about $100 per thousand. And $100 per thousand is actually a lot of money. So realistically, you're sitting between a 20 and 30, maybe $30 to $40 mark if you've got a decent. That's per 1,000 downloads. And as Linda said, if you get 1,000 downloads in an episode, I saw the stat actually recently, and it was something crazy. Like if you got 1,000 downloads an episode, you're in the top 5 or 10% of podcasts worldwide. Mm. That's how, as low as it sounds, that's how high it actually is in the podcast world. So you got to be in the top 5 to 10% to make $20 to $30 an episode, and then find the sponsor to be able to give you, you know, 10 episode sponsors. And also the challenge that most people would do, most statistically, most people do one episode on a podcast and walk away. Also, most people that continue to year one won't continue to year two because of the work that's put in there. So don't start off the bat. The biggest thing is and trying to chase that sponsorship when you launch a podcast, because you need to understand that you need to put in the hard work so that you got a foundation to take to a brand, as you said, to package it and be able to show it there. Because otherwise every week you're going to go, oh, I need to chase that 1,000 and chase that 1,000. You're going to be thinking about your brand in the wrong way to be able to grow it sustainable and grow it in a way that brands want to actually link to yourself.
Yeah, that's right. And once you launch a podcast and you get momentum and you keep doing the consistent release and what have you, that's not to say that you can't get to the 1,000 downloads, but it is, as you say, it's that top 5%, I think I've heard. It's very high. So there's other ways to do it. There's quite a lot of other ways to monetize.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the most simplistic way in a sense as well is, and it's one of the easiest ways, and I talk to a lot of people that ask my opinion, is there's also the affiliate way of doing marketing on the show. So what it means to anyone listening is you don't have to go to when you go to the brand, you don't have to tell the brand, pay me money up front to get a sponsorship. If you go to a brand and say, this is what I want, this is my niche, and this is my audience, I want an affiliate deal with your brand. So in other words, I will talk about your product, it links to me and relates to me. And if they use the code that I provided it with, I then get a kickback on that, or affiliate kickback on it. So from the brand's point of view, they've got no risk because they're not laying out any cash up front, and they're only paying you a commission or a percentage of it when a deal is actually done. So that's a very simple way for podcasts at the moment that are chasing or eager to chase to say they got a sponsor or something like that is, and you can't get an actual contract, is an affiliate way to go to companies. And you'll be surprised at how many small businesses, small niche businesses that have an e-commerce Shopify account that's running through a Facebook business or running a shop through an Instagram account, depending again on your niche and podcast, how quickly those guys will give you an affiliate deal, because most of the times they've got 10 or 20 or 30% discounts anyway in their brand. So they'll be willing to give you a 20% discount, and they will give you 2 to 5% kickback if there's a sale on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't, as you were saying that, it reminded me of a story of, don't forget that people will also donate to listen to your show. So I say donate in air quotes, but they will sometimes, if you've got a really loyal fan base, they'll be happy to pay you a bit of money. So you might set up something like a Patreon account, or I think I've seen somebody do it through just having a PayPal even. But it's really interesting because the story of the woman that I'm thinking of, someone actually reached out to her and said, I have gotten so much value from your podcast and it's helped my business significantly, and I would actually like to donate something towards you running the show because I get so much out of it. So don't underestimate the fact that perhaps your audience, if they're a really loyal following, might be happy to. You don't need to make them donate, but you could ask them to as well. So that's another way that people are making money.
Yep, totally. And what is your consideration or thought about, do you have to or don't you have to? I guess this is how long is a piece of string, but do you need a .com or website when you're doing a podcast? What's your consideration in that space?
I personally think, yes, absolutely you do. It's an interesting conversation. And again, I'll say it because predominantly my market are small business owners. So I would be saying that most of them have got a website.
Yep.
So I would say just add the podcast to the website. I don't know that you necessarily have to have a website specifically for the podcast. But the reason I say that is, if from a business sense as well, and I'll cover off the sort of non-business sense after I've said this, but from a business sense, you are in your marketing, you're sharing your website URL. So you might create a post per episode, and then you're sharing the link to that episode so that people are going back to your website. The embedded audio player is there. They're listening to it there. They can go off to subscribe in the various directories once they hit your website. But two big things is, one, they're on your website, and then they can go, oh, I wonder what, you know, what this person. So I'll use myself as an example, just for want of a better one at the moment. But if I send people back to my website, they might go, oh, okay, so what does Podcast BA even do? And they can go and see my services and see what I offer. So they're right there to go, oh, actually, you know, I don't want to do this anymore.
You got someone behind you. To anyone on the audio podcast at the moment, Linda just had a little guest just stepping behind her into shot. So quite funny. Continue.
Sorry about that.
No, not at all. Oh, that's brilliant. So no, continue. Yeah.
Anyway, I would say absolutely you want to have a website so that, so that people can come back and see what you're doing. The other advantage there is that you can put a pixel on your website. So if you want to capture people's information and then do some ads to them down the track, whether they be Facebook ads or Google ads or whatever, you've caught their information because they've visited your website. So I think that retargeting there is a really, really, really valuable. So from a business point of view, I think if you've got a business podcast or it's related to your business and it funnels into it, then absolutely a website is really important. If you have a hobby podcast or a passion project and the website is just it's a big extra step, then I don't think you do have to have it. On saying that, in one of my episodes with I was talking to Kate Toon, an SEO and what have you, and she was like, but look at some of the podcasts that have started out as hobby podcasts that have turned huge. So like My Dad Wrote a Porno is just one of them that has now got, you know, shows and all.
Reality, isn't it? TV show as well. Yep.
Yeah, there's all sorts of the bits and pieces that have come along from that podcast. So different people, view it differently. But I definitely think it's a great idea to have a website for it.
Because again, it's a place where you can put your products and so forth and anything additional that's part of your brand in that space, and people can go in there. Because all you need, and in the viral world of social media and so forth, all you need is one thing to come off. And if you don't, again, if you don't have the .com, it is fine, but you got to make sure you've got good strength in other platforms, of whether it's on social media, whether it's on YouTube and so forth. So if people are searching for it, they can find it. So if something goes viral overnight and they search my name or they search Lindell's name, they need to be able to relate to where to go to it. And if you don't have either a .com or website to do it, or you don't have a strong presence in the social media space, you're going to lose that small chance that it happens, but then anyone that's trying to search you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think probably one of the reasons I harp on about it, if you've heard me talking about the website URL, is you definitely want to share that in your marketing. But if you don't have one, that's okay. I'm not even going about that. But please, please, please do not share your Apple podcast's link to an episode. I see it so often. And there are so many podcasters that are using Android devices now that if someone's sharing their Apple link to a podcast, they're basically, their audience feels, they're getting really annoyed because they're kind of like, well, you just sharing the Apple link. I just can't be bothered to go and look for this. So if you're going to share a link that's not a website link, share one that is something that anyone can click on and go to the episode. So it might be your
Spotify
host's link. Yeah, it might be Spotify. It might be your host's link. It could be, I've forgotten now that the names of, there's a couple of services like there's a couple of services, and I'll get the names for you so I can pop it in your show notes.
Yep.
That you can get one link that someone clicks on. It doesn't matter whether they're Android or iOS, they go straight to the episode. So I think that's really important.
It is a challenging one at the moment. We spoke about a bit offline, and sense of The podcast world, and to anyone that gets into it, will totally understand that the podcast world is run by iTunes and Apple. There's a close competitor in Spotify, and iHeartRadio at the moment is coming third in behind it. But you have that challenge in the sense of if you're not running a website, if you're not running a built-in app for your own stuff, and you're running Android, like myself and a majority of people, is how do you communicate the right messaging to your Android users without affecting them from the Apple users? So I've had that mistake a lot of times. I've had the challenges even myself of trying to get people and get them on board, but they're not Apple fans. They don't have Apple. So having to learn what it is, the other best recommended apps that you can get people onto without me distributing out from a .com or an email distribution and so forth. And that's where I'm trying to find out, like I said, there's iHeartRadio, there's Spotify, those sort of apps. I know, as I mentioned earlier, CastBox as well is one of the better apps I find on both sides of the systems of where you can recommend, because as much as you want to point someone in the direction of taking an episode, you still want to allow someone the freedom to pick the app or the place they want to listen something to, so they feel that they've made their own choice to come and support you. Because I've some days found that if I walk up to someone and said, hey, I want you to sponsor my show, download this app now that you don't already have, they feel a bit conflicted and they're like, hey, that wasn't really my decision. But if I say to him, look here, it's available in all these apps, they go, oh, I've already got PodConnect and Google Podcast and CastBox and Antenna is one of the other ones, Acast. There's about 20 main priority ones. And if they have one of those, I feel the transition to bring them on board is a lot easier, because you're giving them the choice in something that they can pick on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes too, if you share that host link, so I'm not sure who you host with, but I know if you host with Libsyn or you host with Wooshka, if you send them to that link too, quite often on your show page, there'll be the directories that people can then go and choose to subscribe through. So yeah, there is a couple of options there, but I think it's just so important, because I still see people doing it all the time where they're just sharing that Apple link, and it's just it's a message to try and get across to people to not be sharing that particular one. As you say, Spotify is definitely coming in, and they're spending a lot of money on upping the podcasting ante. So
So I actually host with Anchor, I got showed and told that there was the easy, simple way to go with it, and which it is. It is simple to set up and get going. It's a one push system on Anchor, but it obviously does have its shortfalls in the sense of once you get bigger in the stage like I am at the moment, of whether I consider staying in the platform or not, because it doesn't give me the analytics like Libsyn would give me. But saying in that, I do know that Anchor has just also recently been bought by Spotify. And Spotify does have some really cool analytics sitting behind it. So hopefully, if I give it 6 to 9 months, I might have the transition from one platform to the other without me having to reshift a podcast. So something just to go straight into a point. To anyone that's running a podcast, people need to consider as well, is if you've got a live episode, if you go and delete it, you go and edit it, and you go and move it, that's going to affect the live show that's on there, right? So if you go and delete an episode or partial of the episode, that'll be gone to your people that's listening as well. And I've seen it so many times. Someone goes, oh, I went and edited, or I shifted my audio file within my hosting platform from one location to the other location because I thought it was already uploaded, or it was uploaded. But now because I shifted it, it's deleted it. I can imagine you've had some customers like this as well, with examples of thinking that it's live, so now I can do anything within the database itself of my content and it won't affect anything else.
Yes. I'm just trying to think if we've had any. I've probably had one or two where they've done something and then it's gone and it's deleted, but not too many, touch wood. not too many. I don't know how Anchor works, but I know with some of the ones that that I work with more often, it's a matter of make sure you replace an audio file, and not if you've got if you've put an episode up and you wanted to re-record it, for example, it's about replacing the episode file and not not going and deleting something that you've already made live, and yeah, it can be a bit tricky that way. But certainly sometimes with the imports, you can import into other hosts and you can do it quite easily, but there's usually steps to follow, and most hosts will give you those step-by-step instructions so that you don't lose any of your episodes, because the last thing you want to do is find that a whole chunk of your episodes are missing. But I think you can't, if you import properly into a new host, if you're going to move hosts around and what have you, if you do it properly, you can do it so that you will lose the statistics, but you obviously export those and download them and what have you. Mm-hmm. But you can import into a different provider and still have all of your previous episodes. But if you're going to do that, just make sure you follow some step-by-step instructions so you don't have the heartbreak of losing a whole lot of your back catalogue.
Yeah, so just explaining from Anchor's point of view, at some point you load it up through an app, through the Anchor app. It holds it sort of in a database folder. So this is where the challenge are, where Anchor, a lot of people. So I would have it, let's use like if you're on your computer and you have a folder that's got 50 files, from that you would select your 5 files that you make your episode. So your episode sits above that. And goes, so where the challenge of people that are coming on Anchor, they go, oh, the files are down here, the episode's live here, so what happens if I just delete this file or move this file or edit, and not realizing that there's a correlation between the file and the folder to the actual live content. And that's where the challenge comes on, the simplistic nature of the app, there's not that correlation. So I've had people delete a part, delete the audio file, and then it's come off air, and then I've been to re-put it out there.
Yeah, I can see why that would be quite, now that you've explained that, I can see how that would be really easy to think it's live. I can get rid of it from here now, but that would be heartbreaking.
So, and that's just part of the learnings to anyone, like you said, is once you understand and go through the different steps, there's always a difference, a small variance depending on which journey you go on, which hosting platform, how you do it, and that's where there's teams out there can provide the guidance and insight into it. Also know that, Linda, we were running a bit of out of time with a short episode today. I wanted to just ask you early on, is there sort of one or two key points before we end off today for people that are looking to start or into it, that you want to give them some knowledge around podcasts from stuff we haven't covered already?
That's a good question.
Put you on the spot.
I think, the number one important thing is something we did touch on before, and that is knowing your strategy. Really work out, I think podcasting is amazing. Obviously, I'm a bit biased because I do it, but it's not for everyone. And if your audience are not on podcasts, or they're not listening to podcasts, it is a lot of work to do a podcast if your audience aren't there. So I think it's really important about nutting out that why are you doing it? What's the message you want to share? Are your audience listening? I would say start up by doing a lot of that kind of work, a lot of the what I would call branding of your podcast, mm-hmm. with your artwork and your music and what have you choose for that. And then you can start looking at setting up the technicalities of it. So what microphone do you use? What software am I going to use? Are we doing interviews, solos, what do I need to make that happen in the hosting? When it comes to my advice around equipment, which is what a lot of people ask about, obviously, is when it comes to your equipment, think about where you're going to be recording most of your episodes. If you're going to be sitting in the same office and recording it, then you can look at getting your mic stands and your boom arm and what microphone you're going to use, and whether you get a microphone there's different microphones. I think it's really important to do a bit of research on the different microphones, because it's different if I'm sitting in a carpeted room with furnishings and curtains as it would be if I was sitting in a living room that has high ceilings, lots of windows and a tiled floor. Mm-hmm. So, because you're going to get a lot of reverb from that. So really be thinking about that stuff before you go and spend money on equipment. And my other piece of advice there is you do not need to spend a lot of money to get started, and please don't go and spend a lot of money to get started, because you might not like it after 7 or 8 episodes, or it might not do what you want it to do. And you can start podcasting on a shoestring. You can do it for free, but I would suggest that you go and spend a little bit of money on a good USB mic, and you can be up and running for under $100, but just maybe invest in that microphone, and just try it. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for everything to align perfectly. I am a bit of a perfectionist myself, and it's, and you know, I think there's podcasting's that thing that you just need to start and then just get better on the way. Learn, like, everyone hates the sound of their own voice. Yep. Everyone has imposter syndrome. A lot of people have imposter syndrome. Just start and tweak along the way and just keep going.
Yeah, great points in that. And yes, definitely just start, get going. I say to a lot of people, don't be shy, don't be scared, get in there. People always think it has to be perfect from day one. Unfortunately, that is not going to be the case. 28th episode for myself, I'm still learning, I'm still making mistakes, there's still problems. And that's part of the journey, and that's what people relate to and see it. I'll go back to episode one. I recorded from a cell phone. We recorded in a normal closed-in room. The audio wasn't as great, but the episode camera, the content was still good, but the audio quality wasn't it. But it's part of the transition you can go into there. So you definitely can get into it. And I do agree, if there's one thing you got to take or start with, is start with a great microphone, because when you can get the audio across correctly, as well as the video that's going across at the moment for the likes of YouTube and so forth. But I'll just add on top of that, don't be scared to add your content into as many platforms as you can, audio, YouTube video series, and so forth. I made the let's say the word bad judgment that I felt I wasn't prepared. And in my first 14 episodes, I did not put on YouTube. So I missed 14 situations to build a bigger brand on a different platform. But now since then, I've done every single video or every episode onto YouTube to allow that. So don't be scared, jump in, and you'll learn along the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you know, I was 3 years in the podcasting industry, and I still was like, oh, you know, imposter syndrome and all of those feelings that everyone has. And it's such a range of emotions, from, you know, the adrenaline and excitement and the fear and all of that kind of stuff. But just put it out there, the biggest podcasters in the world will still say, oh my gosh, if you go back and listen to episode one, it's completely different. I sound like completely different and everything's changed along the way. So yeah, you can't really go wrong. It's a really flexible medium. So just put it out there, and you know, you can get 10 episodes in and go, I think I'll go and re-record. I wouldn't necessarily do it, but you can. If you really got a cringy one, you can go and change the audio for it.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Before we end off today, Linda, do you want to just give everyone that's listening on the show at the moment just where they can find you, social handles, website, preference for your podcast platform?
My website is podcastva.com, and all the links to my socials are on there. I'm pretty much Facebook and Instagram, and I actually run a Facebook group called the Australian Podcasters Collaborative, and I actually we except people that are not in Australia. It grew as more of an Australian community, but it's really starting to grow now. So if anybody would like to join that, that's from people who want to start a podcast right through to seasoned podcasters welcome in that group. So yeah, if anybody wants to do that, they're more than welcome.
That's awesome. I'll make sure I've got, when I release the episode, I'll make sure that all your links are in the feed as well, so people can find that information. And again, thank you so much for joining, coming on the show today. And to everyone else that is watching or listening on the podcast series today, thank you again for joining in and coming to this episode, having a listen to see on some of the tips and tricks of how you can launch your podcast series and how you can take it to the next steps. And until the next time, have a beautiful and powerful day.
Thanks, Lawrence.